Hey, boo. We're continuing Chapter 10 of Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. So I think they were just about to start talking, all the professors. So what brings you to this neck of the woods, Minister? Came Madame Rosmerta's voice. Harry saw the lower part of Fudge's thick body twist in his chair as though he were checking for eavesdroppers. Then he said in a quiet voice, "What else, my dear, but Sirius Black? I dare say you heard what happened up at the school at Halloween."
"I did hear a rumor," admitted Madame Rosmerta.
"Did you tell the whole pub, Hagrid?" said Professor McGonagall exasperatedly.
"Do you think Black's still in the area, Minister?" whispered Madame Rosmerta.
"I'm sure of it," said Fudge shortly.
"You know that the Dementors have searched the whole village twice," said Madame Rosmerta, a slight edge to her voice. "Scared all my customers away. It's very bad for business, Minister."
"Rosmerta, my dear, I don't like them any more than you do," said Fudge uncomfortably. "Necessary precaution, unfortunately, but there you are. I've just met some of them. They're in a fury against Dumbledore. He won't let them inside the castle grounds."
"I should think not," said Professor McGonagall sharply. "How are we supposed to teach with those horrors floating around?"
"Hear, hear," squeaked tiny Professor Flitwick, whose feet were dangling a foot from the ground.
"All the same," demurred Fudge, "they're here to protect all of you from something much worse. We all know what Black's capable of."
"Do you know, I still have trouble believing it," said Madame Rosmerta thoughtfully. "Of all the people to go over to the dark side, Sirius Black was the last I'd have thought. I mean, remember when he was a boy at Hogwarts. If you'd told me then what he was going to become, I'd have said you'd had too much mead."
"You don't know the half of it, Rosmerta," said Fudge gruffly. "The worst he did isn't widely known."
"The worst?" said Madame Rosmerta, her voice alive with curiosity. "Worse than murdering all those poor people, you mean?"
"I certainly do," said Fudge.
"I can't believe that. What could possibly be worse?"
"You say you remember him at Hogwarts, Rosmerta," murmured Professor McGonagall. "Do you remember who his best friend was?"
"Naturally," said Madame Rosmerta with a small laugh. "Never saw one without the other, did you? The number of times I had them in here, ooh, they used to make me laugh. Quite the double act, Sirius Black and James Potter."
Harry dropped his tankard with a loud clunk. Ron kicked him.
"Precisely," said Professor McGonagall. "Black and Potter. Ringleaders of their little gang. Both very bright, of course. Exceptionally bright, in fact. But I don't think we've ever had such a pair of troublemakers."
No, said Hagrid. "Fred and George Weasley could have given them a run for their money."
"You'd have thought Black and Potter were brothers," chimed in Professor Flitwick. "Inseparable."
"Of course they were," said Fudge. "Potter trusted Black beyond all his other friends. Nothing changed when they left school. Black was his best man when James married Lily. Then they named him godfather to Harry. Harry has no idea, of course. You can imagine how the idea would torment him."
"Because Black turned out to be in league with you-know-who?" whispered Madame Rosmerta.
"Worse than that even, my dear." Fudge dropped his voice and proceeded in a low sort of rumble. "Not many people are aware that Potter's knew you-know-who was after them. Dumbledore, who was of course working tirelessly against you-know-who, had a number of useful spies. One of them tipped him off, and he alerted James and Lily at once. He advised them to go into hiding. Well, of course, you-know-who wasn't an easy person to hide from. Dumbledore told them that their best chance was the Fidelis charm."
"How does that work?" said Madame Rosmerta, breathless with interest.
Professor Flitwick cleared his throat.
"An immensely complex spell," he said squeakily, "involving a magical concealment of a secret inside a single living soul. The information is hidden inside the chosen person or secret keeper, and is henceforth impossible to find unless, of course, the secret keeper chooses to divulge it. As long as the secret keeper refuses to speak, you-know-who could search the whole village where Lily and James were staying for years and years, and never find them, not even if he had his nose pressed against their sitting room window."
"So Black was the Potter's secret keeper?" whispered Madame Rosmerta.
"Naturally," said Professor McGonagall.
James Potter told Dumbledore that Black would rather die than tell them where they were. That Black was planning to go into hiding himself, and yet Dumbledore remained worried. I remember him offering to be the Potter's secret keeper himself. He suspected Black? Gasped Madame Rosmerta. He was sure that somebody close to the Potters had been keeping you-know-who informed of their movements, said Professor McGonagall darkly. Indeed, he had suspected for some time that someone on our side had turned traitor and was passing a lot of information to you-know-who. But James Potter insisted on using Black? He did, said Fudge heavily, and then, barely a week after the Fidelis Charm had been performed.
Black betrayed them? Breathed Madame Rosmerta.
He did indeed. Black was tired of his double-agent role. He was ready to declare his support openly for you-know-who, and he seems to have planned this for the moment of Potter's death. But, as we all know, you-know-who met his downfall in Little Harry Potter. Powers gone, horribly weakened, he fled. And this left Black in a very nasty position indeed. His master had fallen at the very moment when he, Black, had shown his true colors as a traitor. He had no choice but to run for it.
"Filthy, stinking turncoat!" said Hagrid so loudly that half the bar went quiet.
"Shh!" said Professor McGonagall.
"I met him," growled Hagrid. "Must have been the last to see him before he killed all those people. It was me what rescued Harry from Lily and James' house after they was killed. Just got him out of the ruins, poor little thing, with a great slash across his forehead, and his parents dead, and Sirius Black turns up on that flying motorbike he used to ride. Never occurred to me what he was doing there. I didn't know he'd been Lily and James' secret keeper. Thought he just heard the news of you-know-who's attack and come to see what he'd done. White and shaken he was. And you know what I did? I comforted the murderer and traitor, Hagrid roared.
Hagrid, please, said Professor McGonagall, keep your voice down.
How was I to know he wasn't upset about Lily and James? It was you-know-who he cared about. Then he says, give Harry to me, Hagrid. I'm his godfather. I'll look after him.
Ha. But I had the orders from Dumbledore, and I told Black no. Dumbledore said Harry was to go to his aunts and uncles. Black argued, but in the end he gave in. Told me to take his motorbike to get Harry there. I won't need it anymore, he says. Should have known there was something fishy going on. He loved that motorbike. What was he giving it to me for? Why wouldn't he need it anymore? Fact was, it was too easy to trace. Dumbledore knew he'd been the Potter's secret keeper. Black knew he was going to have to run for it that night. Knew it was a matter of hours before the Ministry was after him. But what if I had given Harry to him, eh? I bet he'd have pitched him halfway off the bike, halfway out to sea. His best friend's son. But when a wizard goes over to the dark side, there's nothing and no one that matters to him anymore.
A long silence followed Hagrid's story. Then Madame Rosmerta said with some satisfaction,
"But he didn't manage to disappear, did he? The Ministry of Magic caught him up with him the next day."
"Alas, if only we had," said Fudge bitterly. "It was not we who found him, it was little Peter Pettigrew, another of Potter's friends. Maddened by grief, no doubt, and knowing that Black had been the Potter's secret keeper, he went after Black himself."
"Pettigrew? That fat little boy who was always tagging around them after Hogwarts?"
said Madame Rosmerta.
"Hero worshipped Black and Potter," said Professor McGonagall. "Never quite in their league, talent-wise. I was often rather sharp with him. You can imagine how I regret that now." She sounded as though she had a sudden head cold.
"There now, Minerva," said Fudge kindly. "Pettigrew died a hero's death. Eyewitnesses, muggles, of course, we wiped their memories later, told us how Black had cornered Pettigrew. They said he was sobbing, 'Lily and James, Sirius, how could you?' And then he went for his wand. Well, of course, Black was quicker, blew Pettigrew to smithereens."
Professor McGonagall blew her nose and said thickly, "Stupid boy, foolish boy. He was always hopeless at dueling, should have left it to the Ministry.
I tell you, if I'd have got to Black before little Pettigrew did, I would have messed around with wands. I'd have ripped him limb from limb," Hagrid growled.
"You don't know what you're talking about, Hagrid," said Fudge sharply. "Nobody but trained hit wizards from the magical law enforcement squad would have stood a chance against Black once he was cornered.
I was junior minister at the Department of Magical Catastrophes at the time. I was one of the first people on the scene after Black murdered all those people. I will never forget it. I still dream about it sometimes. A crater in the middle of the street, so deep that it had cracked the sewer below. Bodies everywhere, muggles screaming. And Black standing there laughing, with what was left of Pettigrew in front of him, a heap of blood-stained robes and a few fragments. Fudge's voice stopped abruptly. There was a sound of five noses blowing. "Well, there you have it, Rosmerta," said Fudge thickly. "Black was taken away by 20 members of Magical Law Enforcement Squad, and Pettigrew received the Order of Merlin First Class, which I think was some comfort to his poor mother. Black's been in Azkaban ever since." Madame Rosmerta let out a long sigh. "Is it true he's mad, Minister?" "I wish I could say that he was," said Fudge slowly. "I certainly believe his master's defeat unhinged him for a while. The murder of Pettigrew and all those muggles was the action of a cornered and desperate man, cruel and pointless. Yet I met Black on my last inspection of Azkaban. You know, most of the prisoners in there sit muttering to themselves in the dark. There's no sense in them. But I was shocked at how normal Black seemed. He spoke quite rationally to me. It was unnerving. You'd have thought he was merely bored. Asked if I'd finished with my newspaper, cool as you please, as he said he'd missed doing the crossword. Yes, I was astounded at how little effect the Dementors seemed to be having on him, and he was in one of the most heavily guarded places, you know. Dementors outside his door day and night. What do you think he's broken out to do?" said Madame Rosmerta. "Good gracious, Minister, he isn't trying to rejoin you-know-who, is he?" "I dare say that is his eventual plan," said Fudge evasively. "But we hope to catch Black long before that. I must say, you-know-who, alone and friendless, is one thing, but give him back his most devoted servant, and I shudder to think how quickly he'll rise again." There was a small chink of glass on wood. Someone had set down their glass. "You know, Cornelius, if you're dining with the headmaster, we'd better head up to the castle." One by one, the pairs of feet in front of Harry took the weight of their owners once more. Hems of cloaks swung into sight, and Madame Rosmerta's glittering heels disappeared behind the bar. The door of the Three Broomsticks opened again, and there was another flurry of snow, and the teachers had disappeared. "Harry?" Ron and Hermione's faces appeared under the table. They were both staring at him, lost for words. And next time we'll start chapter 11, called The Firebolt. I hope you like that, my boo. And it's time for bed. I love you so much. You're such a sweet girl. I hope you have a good night. I love you.